Hello, I'm Dr. Jesse L. Grice, founder and senior pastor of Trueline Baptist Church. It's my heart as we welcome you. I welcome you, and I praise God that you will get something from it and bless your life. And in Jesus' name, we love you.
Hallelujah. Beautiful job. Beautiful job. Amen. Amen. Just for a moment, I see Mother Jackson back there. Just for a moment, I want to thank God for our elders who are still going strong, and I thank God for Mother Jackson and Mother Florine. Amen. So if you don't mind, just for a moment. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No the hill I know, if thou withdraw thyself from thee, O Lord, where shall I go? Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for another day of mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are all by yourself. For thinking enough of us, Father God, to send a Savior into this world, Father God, to feel what we feel, to go through what we go through, Father God, and overcame, Father God. So we thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for all of our sins and our shortcomings, Father God. Now, Father God, it's time for your spoken word to be spoken unto your people. Open up their ears, their hearts, and their souls, and their minds, and pour them out a blessing that only the anointing of your Holy Spirit can give them, Father God. So now that I pray them a blessed festival, I pray to edify your word unto them through the gift of preaching, that they might receive by your spirit and your spirit alone, all of you and none of me. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, give honor to God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit that is a gift to those of us who receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, to all my church family and to all our guests and all those who are joining us live stream, Christians and friends. We just give God all the honor and praise for this day that he has made. I'm coming from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. I'll be coming from Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. While you're turning there, I want to share some things with you in regards to this. Anxiety disorders are common, especially among teens, women, and adults. Anxiety often co-occurs with depression, mania, and substance use disorders. About 3.6% or 264 million people around the world have anxiety disorders. Anxiety disorders in teens, life prevalence ages 13 to 14 is 31.4%. Ages 15 to 16 is 32.1%. And ages 17 to 18 is 32.3%. Anxiety demographics read as this. In the past year, 23.4% of women experienced an anxiety disorder compared to 14.3% of men, according to NIMH article. Amen. I just want to tell everyone, God loves you. He loves you in spite of what's going on and whatever you're dealing with. He loves you. On streaming, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. In spite of everything we're going through and everything that you experience, he loves you. We love you. Amen? Amen. The word, this is Jesus on the Mount summarizing this sermon. Beginning at verse 25, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. This is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will tomorrow its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I would like to tab this text in which to preach on Christ's guidance for overcoming your anxiety. Christ's guidance for overcoming your anxiety. In this particular text, in this particular area of the Bible, as it opened up in this chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus does some teaching. He teaches on almsgiving. He teaches on prayer. He teaches on fasting. He talks about the treasures are in heaven. Then he talks about the light of the body. And then he gets to this point where he talks about trusting one master. God is providing for us whether we like it or know it or not. He provides for the saved as well as the unsaved. He is blessing us all now to have breath in our bodies to still praise him and worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, this point of the scripture is Jesus says three times, do not worry. See, the Lord already knew we was going to have to deal with some fleshly things. These things would happen to us. He knew he was going to be dealing with anxiety. So what I'm trying to refocus you on is focus on God's faithfulness. Because you're going to deal with some anxiety. I deal with some anxiety. But some are dealing with it at a higher level. Some are really coming at you. And some are you really in a spiritual fight. And it really has attacked you. And I want to thank God for my young adult ministry, because they were the ones who brought this up. And God had already kind of started working with me on this sermon earlier in the month. And they said, we want a class on talking about anxiety because it's in society. But I want to show you here in text that the Lord already laid the roadmap. He already gives us the cure. We just have to take the time to remind ourselves, yes, that God has already overcome everything. And we have to learn to encourage one another and love one another, because this world is not going to get any better. We live in an immoral world, and we're led by an immoral government. And we're led by people who don't believe in the true living God. They believe in a multitude of gods and let everybody do whatever they want. That's why us as a church have to try to win souls for the true living God. Because the day is coming, and it's coming very quickly. So therefore, we want to ensure that we're teaching and preaching sound doctrine and ensuring that you're receiving what you need. Now, if you don't receive it, that's between you and the Lord. But you can't say that Dr. Jesse L. Grice don't give it to you at True Vine Baptist Church. We want to ensure that you're getting sound doctrine, meaning doctrine that is here to help you. Doctrine is here to see you through, to carry you through, to take you to, for you can build your faith on, to take you from here to heaven. Now, this issue, when Jesus is here in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at all the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more than they? Jesus lays out a concept. It's a pagan thought process. We have to understand that only the children of Israel were blessed to have God feeding them manna from the heavens. And the Gentiles knew that. They knew that they were not a part of that blessing. But when Jesus came to deliver them as well, because he knew that the Jews were going to turn on him. They were going to reject him. But during this time, their state of mind, their thought of mind was hopelessness. Their state of mind was that we have to worry about other things because God don't care about us. He's not concerned with how we feel. He's not concerned about what we're going through. So it's a paganistic mind thought. Whenever we don't think about the goodness of God, knowing that God is going to provide all our needs. He's going to provide the provisions that we need to survive, whether we like it or not. That might not be what we want, but God is going to provide all our needs. But sometimes our anxiety is caused because we get caught up in what the world wants us to get caught up in. We create issues and concerns that penetrate our soul and our spirit to take our focus off God. Let me share this with you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight to the blind, and to set liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable gospel, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 4, but he's quoting Isaiah 16:1. That's what preaching is for by the Holy Spirit. It is to set you free from your issues. It's to set you free from your concern so your spiritual person can be built up to deal with what these world is going to throw at you. Because in this flesh, the flesh is weak, but yet the spirit is strong. But it's up to you to allow the Holy Spirit to build you up. And if you're not saved, I'm glad you're listening to this because we're going to talk about how you can get it straight before it's too late. See, we have to understand that we're all going through a tough time. We're all dealing with issues. We all got some concerns. We got some worries. You see, in the same way, fear is given as an emotion. When our mind alerts us to danger, real or perceived. Anxiety is what we feel when our body is responding to the emotion of fear. Worry is a thought process that mulls over and gives power to the object of our fear. Now, see, God gives us emotions for a reason. But he wants us to make sure we keep him centered on him in spite of our situation. See, it's a choice to follow, but it's a choice also to stay connected. You see, Jesus was, when he was talking about this on the mount, he was not just talking about the situation. He was talking about the connection through him. He was talking about what he was dealing with and what we were going to deal with as all man and all God. He showed that in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the weight of the world, the weight of the sin on this fleshly body created him to sweat blood from his pores. You have to understand, he feels everything that you feel. He felt anxiety, he's felt worry, he's felt all that, but yet he did not sin, and he has overcome it. That's why it's important that we stay connected to the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see, anxiety is the mind and the body's reaction to stressful, dangerous, or unfamiliar situations. It's the sense of uneasiness, distress, dread you feel before a significant event. A certain level of anxiety helps us stay alert and aware for those suffering from an anxiety disorder. It feels far from normal. It can be completely deliberating. You have to understand God gave it to us for a reason so we could feel it. But that's when you go pray. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling out, when you're feeling distressed, God wants you to go pray. And when you pray, he wants you to believe in your prayer. Yeah. Don't get up and go join the misery party all over again. You know how we are. Come on now. Some of us, we got to go reach out and call everybody but Jesus before we get to Jesus. Misery like company. And sometimes it's us that create the bad company. We down, let me call somebody else and bring them down. Call somebody gonna lift you up. Call on Jesus and call somebody, a brother or sister, that's gonna lift you up. Don't stay down. God gives us a church family for a reason. He gave us the family unit from the very beginning. He gave us man and woman who created what? Children. God wants the family unit in the church. Yes, we're going to have a youth service. Yes, we're going to do that. But every now and then, we're going to need to have some services where the kids up in here and they lead service. And the parents, you supporting them and praising them and teaching them, because we got to teach them the right way. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's too much acting, church. God wants those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And the only way our children are going to see that is if they see what you do. Because they only see us for about an hour up here. And they're going through things because they're spending more time in school. They're spending more time in activities. And their friends are bringing anxiety. And they're bringing other things at them, bullying and all this other stuff. And they're weighing it on them. But you got to lead your children to Christ. You have to remind them to watch what I do. When I'm struggling, I pray. When they get home, say, come on here, let's pray. Don't let them suffer in the room by themselves. Go in there and find out what's going on. I'm tired of watching these statistics of teens and kids killing themselves over depression and over anxiety and over bullying and all this other stuff. Some things we can't help, but by God, we need to reach out and let them know we love them. And some of our adults, you know that you got anxiety problems and you acting like you all that and a bag of chips. Oh, I got it all. I'm going through, but I'm going to make it. Whatever. Don't get on the prayer line and ask Jesus to help you out. Be real about your situation. If you know you're struggling, say you're struggling. Tell somebody in confidence so we can pray for you.
Yes, sir.
Get down on your knees and ask God to help you through the situation. Don't act like you know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. If you did, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, the key thing about anxiety is this. Our anxiety is tied to our life experiences and thought patterns, not to random biological defects like the doctor will tell you. See, things that you go through in life creates your anxiety for your next situation. So if you have past problems, you're going to mess up and take them into today's problems. So you have to ask God to help you move from those things that have passed away and move to the future and not bring that with you. We all go through some things in the past. There's some things we can't forget right away. Everybody says, oh, I forgive. Yeah, you can forgive someone, but that don't mean you don't reconcile with them. It takes a while to reconcile with somebody. Reconciliation means that you actually restore them back to their position. You're not going to wait 4 years later and remind them, remember when you did this to me? That's not reconciliation. Reconciliation means all things have passed away, baby. I love you back like I loved you before, and we're going to make this thing work. We're going to do this thing right. That's true reconciliation. But yes, you need to forgive, but only God can truly reconcile easily. I can't truly reconcile easily. Some folks, I say, Lord, thank you for saving me, because I have some special words I want to give them. And I'm quite sure you feel the same. There's some folks you really want to tell them how you really, really, really feel on the inside, the natural person. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. He restrains me. So I learn to pray for my enemy. Pray for those who lie on me, those who disrespect me, and all those other things. That's what you got to do. Sometimes we had a discussion, Reverend Moe and Reverend Scott and myself, we handled young adults, and we got into a discussion. We were talking about love. We talk about how even family members, we get into it with them. We don't even know why they don't like us. They just don't like us. And they might not ever even tell you why they don't like you. You ain't done nothing to them. So you learn how to pray for them from a distance. And still love them and treat them with respect when you get the opportunity. So that brings me to my first point. Christ's guidance on the issue of anxiety. You see, anxiety takes our eyes off pursuing what God values most. And it takes our eyes off pursuing the point of life. Anxiety also takes our eyes off pursuing the one who has the power to act. And God stops, and it also stops us from pursuing the ultimate purpose we have been given by God. It is a battle to overcome the grip of fear, worry, and anxiety. But it's a battle worth fighting. That's why you can't do it alone. That's why God sent Jesus into the world to give you somebody to be an example, to go through your struggles, your strains, and everything that you deal with. In Matthew 8 and 9, there are some things that you might not have recognized to what I'm about to share that already identify with the things that you're going on with now that Jesus actually talked about. He talked about terminal illness, death of a loved one, physical discomfort and sickness, spiritual oppression, financial security, spiritual warfare, physical safety, loss of reputation, suffering of a child, and permanent disability. All these things are in the book. All these things have touched some of us in one way or another. You see, God already knew what we was going through, but every now and then we have to be reminded. It's hard not to worry when you act like you ain't worrying. So the best thing to do is say, Lord, I'm worrying. Help me, strengthen me, guide me, lead me out of this cloud that I'm in. He'll do it. And then be encouraged by positive people. Some of us are not careful about some of our friends. They bring a negative context to them. And yeah, you can love them, but why are you going to go around someone who's negative and you need uplifting? It's nothing against them, but the reality of it is sometimes we put more pressure on ourselves. And we don't have to. The best thing you can do for a friend is tell them the truth. I got friends that can't hold water. So I don't tell them nothing. I don't want nobody else to know. I still love them. I got friends, they just ain't gonna act right in public. So I don't go nowhere with them in public. They know why I don't go. I still love them. I got friends, they love to lie, and they'll tell you they love to lie. But I still love them. You see, everybody has their own individuality. Everybody has their own personality. We all deal with things differently. So all I'm trying to tell you is that the value of life, of a person's life, is greater. And that's what Jesus is talking about. The value of a person's life should be appreciated. But we have to be real about the things we like and don't like. And then we have to still love them in our own way. There's no special peg for love. You're either going to give it or you're not going to give it. You're going to either receive it or you're not going to receive it. Jesus tried to love folks and they still hung it. So if they do it to Jesus, who are you? Who am I? You see, the reason why I bring this up is because there's a few other things I want to share with you here about this. When you worry, it's not believing what God will, with God, it will get it right. See, when you worry, you really believing that God ain't going to get it right. But check this out. When your worry goes to bitterness, bitterness is believing God got it wrong. You see, when we lose a loved one, we always ask God why. And God already know that we're upset. He already know we're going through, but don't let it get to bitterness. Start praying and asking God to help you feel this emotion that you feel. You hurt. It's okay. But be real with God so he can bring you out of it. Because if you get the bitterness, you're going to get the anger. And then you're going to say something that you really don't mean. And then you have to go back and apologize to folks that you shouldn't have never had to apologize had you only been truthful with how you felt at the time. You see, when Jesus was summarizing this on the mount, I was looking at this early on because I'm preparing that class for the young adults in regards to anxiety. It's something that really stuck out. He said, don't worry three times. So when you look at 27, he says, which of you are worrying and can add one cubit to his stature? You can't add nothing to you. A cubit is 18 inches. You can't add 1 inch to your life. Worrying about something you don't have no control over. That's why he poses that question there. If you trust him, trust him more. If you're not where you need to be in your faith walk, ask God for more faith. So that way you can trust him for him to provide you in, for all that you need, even in your bad situations. See, I call it, you got to go through to get to. See, you can't get to heaven until you go through some stuff to build up your faith in order to deserve heaven. And how do you deserve heaven? You got to believe on the Son. Because when you start believing in Jesus, get ready. The devil's coming. He finna send you on a test drive to see if you really love the Lord like you say you will. To see if you really gonna have a testimony, or are you gonna quit? Are you gonna give up? Are you gonna be like the world? Now, some of us, we do need medical attention, and you go get your medical attention. That's not what we're saying here. But what I'm saying is, you put God first, even when you go see your doctor. You put God first in regards to the coping mechanism they may give you. You put God first in all your situations, irregardless of how bad it is. Put God first. Because this world is trying to tell you all these different type of different practices and all these different things, and it's worrying people. It's creating chaos. It's creating anger. It's creating disruption. And people are out there fussing over, was Steve Harvey right or was he wrong? Steve Harvey making money off of you. God has blessed us to make money off of things I never thought you could make money off of. We used to have barbershop talks in the barbershop about sports. Now we got talk shows where they're making millions of dollars to sit there and talk about stuff we talk about in the barbershop. Yes, and we act like we ain't blessed. God has blessed us to be able to provide a means, but yet still we worried about stuff and not putting him first. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to put Jesus first and seek all of his righteousness first, irregardless of what's going on, and not bring things in that create chaos, because that's a part of your spiritual maturing. You see, once you get saved, you got to become more spiritually mature. See, that's why, Pastor, we encourage you to come to Bible study. That's why we encourage you to come to church. Iron sharpen iron, and the only way we want to sharpen you is that you get connected and get involved in a Bible study where they can help you understand the word, and you can ask your questions. You can talk about your questions. You see, every church has a Y group. Pastors can't be a part of the Y group. You know why? Because y'all ain't gonna like us. You see, members can say, why did Pastor do this? And why did Pastor do that? Well, why did Pastor do this? And why did he do that? We have to take it. We have to respond to it. But let us ask you directly, why didn't you come to Bible study? Why didn't you come to church? What's your problem? Why didn't you do this? And why you didn't do that? And why you do this? And why you didn't do that? See, we can't do that. See, y'all will be mad and want to kick us out. But we have to tolerate the Y group. Every church got a Y group. Amen. Yeah, you know, if you're in the Y group, that's okay. We're praying for you. Instead of trusting the provisions, instead of trusting what God has provided you through a gift of a pastor, to trusting what God has given you through a church community, through a church family, that's what God wants us to do. We're going to have struggles. We're not going to be on the same accord all the time, but we have a God that can conquer and believe us out. As long as we believe in the same word, y'all, we're going to be just fine. But we're not going to agree. I'm almost done. This brings me to my second point and my final point. Christ's guidance on God's overcoming power that he has given to you. Those who are saved, you have the power to overcome whether you know it or not. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. And a couple of things I want to share with you about a technique that he talks about here in 31 and 32. He says in 31, he said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Like I reminded you that it's a pagan thought process, because they were truly without God. They were not among the children of Israel, who were the blessed children. You see, the key is you have to make a decision not to worry. That's how you stop worrying, number one. You have to make an individual decision to not worry. Then you need to constantly monitor your thoughts and your feelings. You have to monitor that, because when you got negative things going through your mind, it's going to get right here. And then guess what? This tongue going to tell it. Life is death is through the tongue, and I don't care what you say. You keep on holding it in, eventually this tongue going to give it up. Life and death is through the tongue. It's going to come out when it gets here. Learn to replace the negative thoughts and the feelings with the promises of God. Whenever you're dealing with something negative, pick up your Bible and find a promise that God made, and be enlightened and be strengthened by that. That's a coping mechanism for a Christian. That's a coping mechanism. You start believing. You go back and you pull the promises that God said. I'm doing this because I want you to know God loves you and I love you too, because I see some of these people that have committed suicide, y'all were in the church. And our young adults are concerned because they see the athletes and all of them going through this, and they're going through it too, and they're trying to gain understanding. And I want to remind them that we're going to go through this word, and we're going to break it down, and we're going to make sure you get it, because I'm meeting them where they are. I'm not taking them where I want them to go. See, that's how you have to teach the young people. You're trying to take them where you want to go, you ain't going to get them there. But if you meet them where they are and start growing them, then we're going to go somewhere together. See, my Bible class knows my concept. And I use the same concept what Jesus made. I do, you do, we do. I do it, they do it, and we do it together. That's how we teach. That's how Jesus taught. He did it. We just have to believe in it. We have to trust it. We have to trust the process. And when we have the world throwing all these worries with the pandemic and all these other things at us and stuff like that, we have to pray, because Jesus said, watch and pray. We're going to have tribulations. So how do we stand firm against the attack of the enemy in any situation? I already told you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God fills us with strength, wisdom, and discernment through his own spirit to stay strong in battle. That's Romans 8 and 26. Then he gives us prayer. God invites us to have a relationship with him. He desires for us to spend time in his presence, pressing in to know him more. That's Ephesians 6 and 18. He gives us his word. He arms us with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to stand against the enemy's lies. James 4 and 7. Then he gives us obedience. And that's the key. We have to be obedient. The Bible already said obedience is better than sacrifice. Our willingness to obey the words and the commandments of Christ in a world that would say to walk our own way is huge. That's in 2 Timothy 3 and 16. Then we have the armor of God. God reminds us not to go into the day without being prepared and equipped for battle. Ephesians 6, 11 through 17. Then he gives us the power of praise. I don't know about you, but a while ago when y'all were praising, you could just, woo! You could feel the anointing. You could feel everybody was free. And sometimes when you're going through something, you just got to praise your way out of it. You just have to thank your way out of it. You just have to believe. And sometimes we forget that when we're going through. I dare you to start praising when you're going through something. You see, praise invites God's presence. He dwells close to us when we praise him. And praise is a powerful weapon as well. See, Satan can't jump in there when you praise him. It makes him flee. Because God said, you got to get somewhere. They're talking about me, partner. You can't hang out here. Now I'm in charge. You got to get somewhere. If you don't believe me, 2 Chronicles 20 and 22 says this. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah. They were defeated. You see, when you praise, God going to send some reinforcements. to take your enemy smooth out. So there's power in your praise. And when folks start looking at you like you crazy, when you should be crying and you hollering, saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, glory to the Lamb of God, breathe the blood of Jesus, then they don't understand, then they'll catch on fire. I promise you, somebody going to catch on fire. Then the blood of Christ and the word of your testimony. See, everybody in here has a testimony. Everybody in here has a purpose. And you have a testimony. Don't be a hush mouth Christian. Tell somebody about the goodness of God, what he's brought you through, what he's doing for you now. Testify. Tell someone. Your life is not just about you, but it's also what God is doing through you to a dying world. You have the power to stand against these things. You see, we are overcomers in this life because of his overcoming. And our lives are hidden in Christ. See, the more we're in Christ, our lives are hidden. But the world sees it. That's why he said we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. It's you, but it's what's in you. I tell everybody, greater he that within me that he's in the world. Because he that's in the world got to go to the dirt. I was teasing with him this week at Bible study. I said, I don't mind taking pictures, but I'm looking forward to that glorified body that's going to make this body look shameful. That's how you have to look at God. You have to start thinking about God's goodness right now. Don't wait till you get to the other side. Start thanking him for what, that you won't have no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more getting up aching. All these things will pass away. Don't let the devil bring you down. Some of this is spiritual warfare. And in the immediate, when the spiritual warfare comes, that's when you need to ask God for help. Even more. It's not biological. It's your experiences that's pulling you in the word. It's your experience and thoughts that you're allowing to control you. And God said, let me have control of your thoughts. Let me have control of your mind. You see, the devil already know there's three fronts on spiritual warfare. There's the mind, there's the church, and there's heavenly places. If he can get in here and disrupt your mind, he got you. If he can get in here and disrupt the church, oh, we ain't going to ever get along. Why do you think God kicked Lucifer and them angels out of heaven? Satan don't want heaven to make it. Satan does not want people to get saved today. We got to get people saved today. We can't wait till tomorrow because tomorrow may be too late. You see, we ought to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first as believers. And as I get ready to close this message, I want to just thank God for all that he is doing and all that he has already done. But there's something that God just put in my mind to share with you. And I already kind of had put it there, but I wanted you to understand. There was a woman in Samaria. That woman had went to the well. And she met Jesus. And through that conversation with Christ, through that conversation of him knowing what she did, she shared with him. She said, when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all and everything. And Jesus said, I am he that speaketh. See, the sister already had hope. The sister already believed, but yet she was a Gentile shunned from the Jews because she asked Jesus, why do you ask me for water? You ain't even got nothing to drink. So she humbled herself to know that the culture did not line up. She humbled herself to listen how Jesus knew she had five husbands and the man she was living with wasn't her husband. He already knew that this woman was hopeless. In other words, she was spiritually bankrupt. But yet Jesus was tired from his journey. And he went to Jacob's well, knowing that this woman that was shunned by the community, shunned by the people, was going to show up But he was there waiting on him. And he had this conversation. But in that conversation, she became a worshiper. Because in that conversation, Jesus told her that God is looking for worshipers who will worship her in spirit, worship him in spirit and in truth. He shared that with that Samaritan woman at the well. A conversation, God enlightened her and threw her automatically into a leadership role. So what I'm trying to tell you is, every now and then, we need to be like a well woman. Even you brothers, you need to be like a well woman in regards to her conduct and how she handled herself once Christ told her to go tell the people that come see a man that has told me all I've done. You see, the thing about this, my sisters, and I know you deal with anxiety and things a little bit more than us men. I want to encourage you and the brothers because you can learn something about from this well woman. Because when she became a true well woman, after Christ had told her, she went and did what Christ said. She went and had a testimony to tell all those who lied on her, all those who talked about her, all those that didn't believe her, so they had to come responding. You see, a well woman accepts her past, but does not let it keep her stuck or prevent her from moving forward into her future. You see, a well woman learns the lessons that good and bad experience and can teach her. You see, a well woman keeps walking and rejoicing in grace that has been extended to her, meaning extended to you. You see, a well woman keeps walking and leaving her water pot of hurts, her water pots of guilt, her water pot of struggle and strain and shame behind her. And a well woman keeps walking and sharing the good news of Christ with other people, leading other women and men to Christ. Now the question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do now? Are you going to be like the well woman and sit in your misery and sit in your struggles and sit in your strain? Christ guided and said, he has overcome, therefore you have overcome. Because over 2,000 years ago, this man went to the cross and he died for all of our sins. So that way we can receive eternal life. He is overcame, so therefore we all have overcome. So I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're dealing with. Trust in the Lord and let him work it out.
Thank you so much for your attendance and your support of the podcast. We do hope to see you again or hear you again or even talk to me again. And we love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you.